Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Personnel Committee meeting. Thank you very much for attending in such a hot day, but we'll get this through hopefully as quickly as possible for you all. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available by the Council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. We have agenda item one, apologies. Are there any apologies?
Councillor Bowman.
Okay, then we have minutes of the previous meeting, which have been circulated and I have a copy of. Can I have a proposer and a seconder?
I think there's only myself there, so it's difficult for people to do it, isn't it?
We'll just note
it. Do we do note it?
Yeah,
we'll
note
it.
I think what we've been doing is we've been assuming that they are a correct record, unless, you know, as far as you are aware, and unless anybody sort of like knows
anything
or not.
No, nobody's come back to say anything, and they have been public for some time. Okay, brilliant. So I will sign those and pass them to the Democratic Secretary. Item three is disclosure of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests in the matters on the agenda. No disclosures. Thank you very much. Item 4 is questions under committee procedures 12.8. No questions were submitted, which takes us on to item 5, which is joint negotiating and consultative committee appointment of councillors 2023-2024. We've all been circulated the papers. Before I go to officers, do any members have any questions on the paper itself or anything that they wish to clarify? Okay. I take it that we have to appoint four people to the JNCC board. I'll just use the acronym. And the recommendation is that four members are chosen. In the paper itself, it says if a politically balanced approach, a politically balanced approach would compromise two Conservative councillors and either two Labour councillors or one Labour and one Green councillor, although there is no requirement for political balance in this case. I'm going to make a proposal that is contrary to this recommendation, is that we do appoint four members, but that it be two Labour, one Conservative and one Green member, so there's representation from all parties that make up the council on that board. But also that the two representatives of the Labour group who are in power in the council at the moment, the ruling administration, have the two seats. Any questions regarding that? Councillor Starr.
I've sat on this committee for some time and we've always gone with political balance, and I think that's one of the recommendations there now. If we go into the proposal that we made, I do think we ought to vote on that, because I think it's important that you understand as well that you are part of a group in terms of the management, as I understand it, and not just a political function. So I see no reason why we shouldn't actually do exactly what we've always done, is keep the political balance to the Conservative, two Labour or one Labour, one Green. And if we could have a vote on that, if you're going to go with that proposal, I'd say have a go.
Thank you, Councillor Starr. Any other members? I've got Councillor Hayne and then I'll come to Councillor Tidson.
So it seems to me that to keep political balance you require a member of the Green Party on the committee as well. And I would also point out that actually I have experience of sitting on JNC, or be from a different hat on.
Okay, thank you.
Would this be resolved if there were five members, not four, and is that possible?
I don't know.
So that, through you, Chair, that will require an amendment to the constitution of the JNCC, which would have to go through consultation with the trade unions, and then need to come back to this committee with trade union responses. And you have to back the trade union membership as well, because it's equal to four trade union and four councillors.
Councillor Hampton,
Thank you, Chair. I actually thought the same thing, that that it might be worthwhile at least considering the candidate here now, just because of the peculiar makeup of this council, so that we actually look at having a 5 minutes in the future and see just have a review on that. So we perhaps move to a situation in the future of two Labour, two Conservative, one of whom perhaps in future years. That might just resolve the issue. And it just for something to be examined in the future.
Okay, thank you very much. Just to come back to Councillor Snart's point, I understand that previously, and I've been on Council now for 16 years, I understand that we the way it was done previously, but I think we're in a unique situation where actually we have a Labour minority administration, and to go to a JNCC meeting then with two members of the opposition party, and as opposed to two members of the administration, would signal the intent, the correct intent to the other side, the trade union side. That's why I made that proposal, not to be disrespectful to what's gone on in the past, but because of where we are now, we just have to make the correct decision. And the correct decision is to have two members of from the administration on that JNCC panel, councillor panel, and that's the proposal.
Good. Could I just make sure it's noted that on our side we disagreed. And the Conservative Party, we have got the most actual councillors in one group, and I believe that we should actually stick with the political balance and have two Conservatives on this panel.
Okay, thank you very much. That can be noted in the minutes.
Can I clarify that you would like that to be the main comment, or just a Conservative comment?
From our group, yeah.
And
I think our group leader said today to you that it was my good self and her good self that would be our representative.
Okay, so we have a different recommendation proposal, and we have to accept one proposal or the other. Councillor Snart has asked for a vote, to be fair, to change the recommendation or to accept a different one. We'll go to a vote to accept. Is that correct? Am I doing it correctly? Do we need to take a vote, or do we decide?
I think, Chair, because of the way the recommendation is worded, that somebody needs to propose four names, whoever those four names are, and then the committee votes on those four names. So then if the Conservative group, if it was a proposal that two Labour councillors, one Conservative and one Green, the Conservatives on the committee could vote against that proposal, if that makes sense.
So we have to just...
What we're asking for is four councillors.
I get it, yeah, okay, that's fine. So I propose that it be two Labour councillors, one Green and one Conservative. Do the Conservative Party have
sorry, Councillor, you need to name
them. I know, but I need to find out the Conservative Party.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So it'll be our group leader.
It'll be your group leader, thank you. So the proposal will be that myself, Councillor Hamilton, Councillor Haynes and Councillor Boker be on that panel.
You went a bit fast forward.
Sorry.
I've got to write it down.
It's okay.
So can I just confirm the names, please?
Yeah, Councillor Beer, Councillor Hamilton, Councillor Haynes, and Councillor Boker.
Lovely, thank you.
So you will be the second one for that?
Yeah, so that's my proposal, yeah.
Second.
Okay, so
would you like to vote for?
Yeah, all in favour? All against? That was passed. Thank you very much. We move on to item 6, which is appointments to the panel for 2023-2024. And on this paper, we have to appoint five councillors to be appointed for the council year 2023-2024 in respect of the following to determine appeals. Well, it's listed here on page 13. This one has to be politically balanced, and the political balance is 2-2-1. So two members of the Labour Party, two members of the Conservative Party, and a Green Party member. So do we just have to then name those members? Okay. So for the Conservatives, Councillor Snark, can I confirm who the two members are for
the
Conservatives?
The group leader again, Councillor Boker and myself.
Thank you very much. So the nominations of the for that one will be Councillor Hamilton, Councillor Tillotson, Councillor Haynes, Councillor Snark and Councillor Boker. Okay. All in agreement? Unanimous, thank you very much. Which then takes us to item 7 of the Prevention of Illegal Working Guidance. I think we've had a chance to read this. Are there any comments from members on the report itself? Mm. Is there anything officers want to bring to our attention before we move this forward? Thank you.
If you've read it, you've obviously picked up the changes from in the report, so it's really about legislative changes and ensuring we comply with the right process. So it's an update to the policies, I'm sure you've all picked up from reviewing that.
Thank you.
There is one change, do apologise.
Okay.
There is an error on page 15 of the policy under Ukraine Extension Scheme. The first paragraph is a date that says the 18th of March 2002. And that should say the 18th of March 2022.
Okay, so if you correct that, the actual policy, that'd be great.
That's page 35 of the
original.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, so the recommendation is that we agree the proposed amendments to the Prevention of Illegal Working Guidance to reflect necessary legislative changes. All in favour?
Could I say something?
Yes, Councillor.
It's on page 38 and 39, I believe. I'm on the right one, aren't I? Yeah. When we're looking at the meeting should be held with the employee's line manager. This is halfway down. And a representative of the human resources should be present. And then we go on to the appeal. The appeal will be heard by the appropriately designated manager from the employment department and a representative from the human resources. Could we actually make sure that it's not the same person on the from the meeting to the appeal? I think that would be wrong.
We do change the panel.
Well, should it be there in there for that? Because it's not clear.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't agree with that.
We can add some wording to clarify.
No, if people are reading it and if somebody's going to the meeting, they really want to know that, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. The wording allows for the same person right now.
Yeah, it does.
It just means that the word different, a different representative from HR. Okay.
Yeah. And could I just ask, How do managers get to know about all the changes? What sort of training do they do?
When we change the policy, as with any policy, we do an update in one chart, so that goes out to managers so they're notified of the changes and to check those. If they're employing someone, we also change the check sheets, the appointment process, so they'll have the information there to check the documents against. And they'll work with HR when they're doing the marketing checks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other members with any comments? If not, we'll go back to the proposal to accept the proposed amendment with the additional wording in the document. All in favour? Thank you very much, it's unanimous. Which takes us to item 8, which is guidance on the recruitment and employment of casual workers. This was interesting to read, but I can see the reasoning behind it. I do have one question, but I'm going to open it up to panel members first, any comments on the report? Can I ask my question? I'll ask my question.
Yeah. And you can.
So this is in relation to agency workers that we might get, or temporary workers, sorry, not agency workers, temporary workers that we might get. So is it that once the temporary workers come to the end of their contract, we don't renew their contract again? Is that how I read it here?
So in terms of these casual workers, they are usually up in 11-week assignments. Sometimes that can be extended in exceptional circumstances, but once they come to the end of that standard 11 weeks, those assignments are ended.
Okay.
So they're treated as leavers for all intents and purposes.
Okay, but there is a caveat then for us potentially in extreme circumstances to extend an employment.
Yeah.
Is that then another new 11 week contract, or is it a rollover?
It would be a rolling period on top of that initial 11 week.
Okay. So, but is there then a cap to say actually if we cross so many weeks of rolling over, I'm just looking at bar staff and town hall for example, would there be a point where we say actually we can't roll it over anymore because you then become maybe a permanent member by default?
There does come a point where we have to review and say this should be a fixed term contract effectively or a different type of contract, so we'll have those discussions with the managers. We've also just reviewed the contracts with the town hall in particular and put those people onto fixed term contracts. So we do have less casuals now because they were working in a way where it's beyond the 11 weeks on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we
can say the 11 weeks, but in practice, if you need the staff and you know the staff and they're very good, you probably want to keep those staff going, and it'd be a shame to get rid of people because they can do an 11 week cut off.
Yeah.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a small point on page 63, which is the treating former casual worker within 6 months after leaving the CBC. And then it says, right to work documents, you must see the originals. Who must see it? Surely it should be there, the manager. It seems crazy that it just says, you must see the originals.
I think because it's intended to be a manager guide, it's written in that way to say it's to the manager.
Most of it's got, it does actually say the manager.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see, you must see the originals. I think it would be better.
Change that.
Yeah, I think it needs to be done.
Not manager per se, it could be the recruiter, whoever the recruiter is, because would that be a manager at all times?
Recruiting officer.
And then on page 68, this is all requests for annual leave must be approved, right at the bottom. When it comes to certain times of the year, and I think it's when schools are off for half term and so, is there any guidance given to managers? Because I do know that there are lots of people off at those times. Is there any guidance given in terms of what the percentage of in a department should be? Over the years, I've noticed that this happens, and I think, is it something that ought to be in there?
Managers can say no, so individual services will have different requirements, but what they will need to make sure the service functions. So business need is always would come first. So managers are in, obviously within that managers can't. It needs to be sensible, but if you need five people in the sort of four person out of eight in the team wants leave, then at that point the manager's reasonably entitled to say no. So it business needs, but obviously whether one person is sufficient just to answer the phone or you need 3, 6, 9 will depend on the individual service. So it's the head of service and the manager who will make that decision. So hence there's no one size fits all percentage in the policy.
I only picked it up because sometimes you get away and contact these people if you need any help, and then you try and contact those people, they're on holiday as well. And there are sort of things there that are not quite right in my view, but I'll leave it with you to say.
They are service matters, right? Service and the managers to manage that and make sure the message. Yeah. It's not something that I think we actually policy.
Okay.
So does that guidance exist somewhere? Because it's quite important for business continuity. Because sometimes I know we also need a one person with the phone. Sometimes we need people physically because the processes that have to happen all the time. Is it left to manager's discretion?
It's manager's discretion because we can't necessarily put that into the policy because every service area or everybody will have a different requirement to how many staff they can run with minimal or how many they can allow to be on leave at the same time. So it's very difficult for us to sort of put that into the policy.
To be honest, it's fundamental to heads of service and managers and business need. comes first. That's not to say we always get it right, but in terms of the whole agile working, certainly the agile working policy is very much predicated on the when you're making decisions and your agile working arrangements within your team, business need comes first. And I think that the problem is, sort of, and myself have said really, the teams will vary very significantly on what sort of covers
I was just thinking, just for the manager's benefit, as are these conversations happening? Are they captured anywhere when handovers happen and new people take roles? It's just that, I think, is an issue.
I think for us, if managers have got concerns around annual leave and sort of, that it's not uncommon for them to ask random questions of the HRT.
Right.
And that advice would always be, it's down to that business leaders for them to make that decision. We can't make that decision for them because we don't know, their staffing requirements.
It's for the manager's benefit, so it's like tension. You don't always want to say no, but sometimes you have to, and that's the guidance.
Oh, yeah, they do say no.
Yeah.
I would be astonishingly disappointed if at least at head of service level that wasn't completely understood.
Councillor Tillotson, and
then just a bit of clarification really. On page 56, the first line of page 56, the council is under no obligation to provide any work and is able to withdraw any work offered. So essentially, when we're talking about casual workers, we're talking about zero hours contracts. Essentially, or not?
We don't have officially 0 hours contract, but effectively it's workers rather than employees because there's no mutuality of obligation. It's called they don't have to come in and do the work, and that's on both sides. We offer the work, they can reject it.
Yeah, thank you.
Councillor Haynes, then I'll come back to Councillor Smart.
It's just to go back to the point about leave at pinch points. Would there be an expectation that if somebody was denied leave, and the half term would be a very good point to look at one particular occasion, they would be given preference the next time that situation came on?
Yeah, I think we are aware that, there's, say, some teams where everybody wants school holidays and they do it on a rota basis. If they've had it 1 year, they don't get Easter or they don't get the next October half term, etc. Mm-hmm. So it is done on that case by case basis, which is down to managers to manage, actually. Yeah.
Start.
A couple more bits. On page 69, summer bank holiday, last Monday in August and Tuesday, extra statutory day. I don't understand why that's an extra day. Everybody else seems to work just the Monday, or have the Monday off, and not the Tuesday. And I have at times when residents bring up and say, where are they? What's that all about?
That dates back to, I don't know quite when, but I think it dates back to about 2003. It all originates from the sort of original civil service extra statutory days. I think in some civil service departments we used to get St. George's Day off. So there was some arrangement whereby those extra statutory days were agreed in the existing pattern within Charnwood, so there's four extra statutory days, so three of which are between Christmas and New Year, which were fine because lots of customers do expect that between Christmas and New Year the office will be closed. But we have got this very odd bank holiday Tuesday, so it is odd. It is something that we do discuss, and the chief executive is looking at, but again, it's one of these terms and conditions things, so it is actually. Within the staff, it is quite sensible. It's sensitive. So it is something actually we may well bring forward. But I know that I did ask one particular team about this, just canvassing opinion, and the discussions were quite heated relatively quickly. So it is something that staff are concerned about. So we may well bring something forward in the nature that extra statutory day is removed, and people are then given an extra day of leave to. Compensated or something of that nature, but that's so. I think it's accepted internally, and we may well bring something forward. It is a sensitive matter which will require discussion with the trade unions, and everyone has to be sort of reassured about what the intentions are, etc. So I think we acknowledge that it does date back a long time, though, and it is sort of a sensitive issue for lots of staff.
I'm just
going
to see that and see the point of having a second date. So it makes the last bank holiday of the year an opportunity for a long weekend to get away. I mean, I think we've done that staff well-being, so it's a very good idea.
I've got Councillor Titson to chair.
Just last one, sorry.
Because it's on this same issue.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Simon's right, it's a quirk of local government, and when I worked in local government, we did exactly what you've just said. We gave the staff, after negotiation, an extra day to cover those Tuesdays so that they didn't get the Tuesday as a matter of course.
Some people are really keen on having the Tuesday.
But and they still could, but they looked as
but happened. Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Yeah. Councillor Snipe, final point, what did you say?
Final point is, severe weather conditions.
Page 77.
Is this a bit outdated now we've had your working?
It is, but not all staff can work from home.
I understand that, but I mean, in my view, it's something that could be reformed a bit for people that do agile working. Because they don't have to come in, do they, then? If it's severe weather.
No, but some staff can't work from home, repair staff, for example.
Mm.
We do still have some staff groups that don't work agilely just for the nature of their job, so we do need to obviously cover it for those.
Councillor Haynes?
In considering the extreme weather conditions, I am concerned that if you're putting pressure on staff to travel in adverse weather conditions, that you are potentially failing your duty of care on health and safety grounds, making travel when it's dangerous. And the clear indication of the policy is that you're putting pressure on them.
Okay, we'll take that note as a note, and that's fine. Any other comments on this? If not, then we will go to what the recommendations ask us. The recommendations are: the Personnel Committee agree to the proposal amendment to the guidance on the recruitment and employment of casual workers. That the Personnel Committee agree to alterations to the leave arrangement policy in relation to casual workers, and that the update to the leave arrangements policy to affect new annual leave requirements for NJC employees in the 2024 year leave year is agreed by the Personnel Committee. If you're all happy to agree, please say so. That's unanimous, thank you. So if I go back to the agenda, I think that's it. Okay, that's everything. I want to thank everybody for attending today and for your contributions to the meeting. Our future meeting is on the 10th of October, our next meeting on the 24th.